Well, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Bill Young, and you're listening to Faith is a Lifestyle. This week, we're continuing our study called Healing in Health, Living Long and Living Strong. So far in this study, we have looked at the redemptive work of Christ and looked at four Hebrew words in great detail. Isaiah chapter 53, the great redemptive chapter of the Bible, lets us know that Jesus was not just our sin-bearer on the cross, but he also bore our sickness and carried our pains. We looked at the unscriptural and erroneous concept of God being glorified in sickness. If sickness and disease brought glory to God, then the scriptures would tell us such. But we saw that they do not. In fact, we see just the opposite, that God gets glory, the Greek word doxa, which means praise, honor, and worship, when the sick are healed. And last week, we looked at Paul's thorn. Now, if there ever was a misunderstood concept in the New Testament, that's it. I think after last week's study, you can have a greater appreciation for Paul and his ministry to the body of Christ. It was just amazing. I really enjoyed teaching Paul's thorn. Now, let's look again at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 16. It says, "And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing and health. Matthew understood this, and his words are indeed an inspired translation of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Peter also understood this as he wrote his epistle and declared in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Peter, looking back at the cross, declared that by the stripes that Jesus bore, we were, past tense, healed. The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing of the physical body. All throughout the scripture, we see evidence that healing of the physical body is part of God's redemptive plan. Now, this week, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look at another misunderstood scripture that's found in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now, if you would turn there with me, and as I said in previous lessons, if you don't keep up with the scriptures as we refer to them, write them down and go back and study them at your leisure. You really will be blessed. John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. For the night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came again seeing." Here's a passage that shows us much about Jesus and the will of God. As Jesus and his disciples passed by a man who had been blind from birth, they ask him a question. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It was believed that this man's dilemma was perhaps caused by the sin of one of his parents, or there was an even more outrageous cause, that perhaps he had sinned before birth, and that was the cause of his blindness. Now, most theologians get bogged down in the reasoning behind such a question, but Jesus answered it for them. When the question was posed to Jesus, his answer was simple and to the point. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. In other words, his blindness was not the result of his sin or the sin of his parents. This passage throws some people for a loop, so to speak, and a misunderstanding of the Scripture, not realizing that Jesus paid the penalty for sin and sickness, and not understanding the character of God, causes some real goofy teaching to arise about this blind man. Now, when you look at the passage, it's not that complicated. If you want to know the truth, it's quite simple to understand. Let's look again at verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work." Many have made the erroneous assumption that this man was born blind so that Jesus could heal him. In this phrase, "but that the works of God should be made manifest in him," that throws people for a loop. That's the one that gets them. Now, here are some facts that'll help you to understand the passage. First of all, in the Greek language, there are no capital letters or punctuation marks. These were all added by translators to assist in the understanding of the scripture that was written. Jesus never said that God made this man blind for some grand providential purpose. Here's what Jesus said in response to the question that was posed to him. "Neither has this man sinned, comma, nor his parents, period. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." Now, the Greek word here translated but is the word Allah. It's A-L-L-A. It's a conjunction that's also translated howbeit, nevertheless, or notwithstanding. The word translated works here is the Greek word ergon, and the word ergon means deed, labor, or work. Now, we can readily see that the deeds, labor, or work of God had not yet been manifest in this man's life until Jesus came along. Jesus proceeded to manifest or show the work of God in the man's life by healing him. Notice that Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me." Now let me ask you a question. Who sent him? You know, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." That was Jesus speaking. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, that is, of the devil, for God was with him. The will of God was shown in this man's life when Jesus spit on the ground and made some mud in the clay. He then placed it on the eyes of the blind man and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man did as Jesus told him to do. He was healed and returned with his sight. The deeds, labor, and work of God resulted in him being healed and receiving his sight. When Jesus healed this blind man, he indeed was doing the will of God. Now, that obviously leads us to another commonly misunderstood man, and that is Job. I've often said that the book of Job is one of my favorite Old Testament books. You know, it's one of the oldest books that was written under the Old Testament. Most Bible scholars believe that Moses wrote the book, and he could have written it before he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Where these events took place in history is not known, it's not sure, but it was certainly perhaps older than the record we have of Abraham. But here's what I want you to see. The key to understanding what really happened to Job is reading the entire book. All the answers are there if you'll just take the time to finish the book. Now, I want to begin with a little background information first about the life of Job. Now, If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And we'll start.